A reading from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets, they should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Feels like school. Can I just throw this? Not throw it, it's the Bible. Does anybody have an alarm clock to help them wake up in the morning? I have an alarm clock to help me wake up in the morning. Hello, Nikki. Nice to see you back here. Nikki didn't have her alarm clock on this morning. Not surprised she's late. No, it's only, that's a joke. I have an alarm clock on my morning. It comes on in the morning, and it has a wonderful little button on it called the sleep button. Does anybody else know this button? And you press the button, and the alarm goes off. It's amazing, and then it comes back on 10 minutes later, and then you can hit it again and you can just carry on sleeping for ages. But there's two things that can go wrong with this sleep button. One is you can just keep pressing it and then you end up being late for whatever it is that you're getting up for. And the second thing is that you can keep pressing it and you can end up being so used to the alarm going off that it just becomes the norm and you just carry on sleeping all the way through it. Sometimes it's nice to get that extra bit of sleep, but it's bad when we sleep on through. Sometimes God sends a wake-up call to us as well in our lives. He speaks to our heart and says, "It's time to wake up and follow me." Or maybe he says, "You need to hear this again because I want you to walk more closely with me." It's easy to hit the snooze button and say to God, "Not now, call me later when I'm a bit less busy." The trouble is, the more that you hit that snooze button, the easier it is to stop hearing God's voice at all. And when you miss God and you finally wake up, maybe it's too late. And that is what happened in our Bible story today with the rich man. But before we get to that, shall we pray? Father God, thank you that you love it when we listen to you and we follow what you say. Help us to hear you now. Make us ready to understand what you want to say to us and help us to change, to be the people that you want us to be, so that we can show your love to all the people that we meet. Amen. So, Jesus told the story of a rich man who wore fine clothes and lived a life of luxury. And there was a beggar named Lazarus who parked himself outside the rich man's gate. Lazarus was hungry and his body was covered with sores. He was hoping that the rich man might give him some food, or even that he was just going to be able to get some scraps from the rich man's table. But every day the rich man passed by Lazarus without really giving him a second thought. I imagine he passed by Lazarus so many times that he stopped really seeing him at all. The Bible says that Lazarus died and went to heaven, and the rich man died and went to hell. In hell, he looked up and he saw Lazarus there with Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, would you let Lazarus dip his finger in the water and put it down and touch it to my burning tongue?" And Abraham says, "No." Then he reminded the rich man how he had enjoyed all the good things of life while he was here on earth, while Lazarus had nothing. The rich man then asked Abraham to allow Lazarus to go back to earth and tell all his brothers about the reality so that they would not end up in hell with him. And Abraham said no again. The rich man had finally woken up, but it was too late. Now there's loads of stuff packed into this story, but I just want to pick out a couple of things from it. The first question to ask is, which character are you? Now maybe we'd like to say that we are the poor guy, we are the Lazarus, but I think in reality that the answer is in fact that we are the rich one, at least in terms of our wealth compared to the rest of the world. In fact, I would say that in our society today, here in the West, we are more often than not preoccupied with material wealth. We may like to think we aren't, but we are. And and because we have so much, it is difficult not to focus our lives around material things. Looking good in front of others, treating ourselves, having the nice things. We have been given a lot here in our lives. The question God will ask us is, what did you do with all that I gave you? I have a thought that has no obvious particular basis in the Bible. I don't think it will necessarily happen, but it does kind of help me think about how I view material wealth. I've died, a little morbid, but I've died, and I'm walking into heaven, and as I'm wandering in, a young boy comes next to me, and it's obvious that he's had a pretty hard life. He's skinny, he doesn't look so good, he looks like he's had to walk a long way to get water, and he's got a fear in his eyes. We get talking, and he tells me his name is Joseph, and I tell him who I am. And he says, "Oh, are you the real Tim Hughes, the guy that wrote all them wonderful worship songs?" And I say, "No, he's not here yet." Anyway, we both get up to someone in charge, and I get welcomed. We both get welcomed, and then I get asked the question, "So, Tim, all the money and stuff that you were given in life, how did you use it to help Joseph here?" And I don't really have an answer. When taken in the context of the world, we have a lot. We are hugely blessed financially, and that brings us to the second point. One of the things that we can learn from this passage is that both men die. The only guarantee in life is death. At some point, we're all going to die, so we are reminded that we need to get perspective. So many of Jesus' stories and teachings are centered around our need to get perspective, to see things as they are and not just how we want them to be. Jesus' take on the society of his time was that they had somehow got their focus off. They'd got their compass set the wrong way. They were looking in the wrong direction. It is just as true for us today in our society. We live in a society that is searching, longing for something. You can see it when you go to the bookshops. There's shelf after shelf of self-help books, mindfulness, meditation, all that stuff. Society has not lost its longing for spirituality or fulfillment of the soul. It's just missed the point of where to find it. Or maybe more accurately, the church has stopped telling the story in a way that is relevant to society. Jesus said of his own society, "They're like sheep wandering round without a shepherd." Effectively, they are so lost, they don't even know what it is that they're looking for. I don't think those words have ever applied to a society more than the one that we live in today. Anyway, what Jesus is saying here is get some perspective. You are given this life, and at some point it will end. Use your time wisely. I have a prop to help you understand. And I have a very Debbie McGee-like helper. So Ian, wrong one. Can you take that? And I want you to walk in that direction and just keep going. Just keep going as far as you can so that the rope is kind of taut and we can see it. So keep going. So imagine, you have to use your imagination. Vicky, this is going to go over you. Imagine this rope is your life. Ian's gone on. He's gone down the road. He's gone past the airport, over the bridge, all the way down to London, across the world, off past the moon, past the sun. It goes on forever. So our life goes on forever. But this is our life here on Earth. This is what this represents here. We die and then we carry on. That's what the Bible teaches. We have eternity stretching out, goes on and on. Kind of how like this talk is feeling. You're born here, you live your life, you die, and then you carry on. It's easy for us living here to focus on this bit of our life. Spend the first bit, our childhood, preparing and getting ready and learning and getting inspired to enjoy this bit, the middle of our life, and we spend this bit being so busy rushing around, sorting the kids out, trying to save a little bit of money maybe, so that maybe if we're lucky, this last bit of our life can be nice and comfortable. And that's fine when you're living in this bit. But as soon as you take a step back and you see that actually this is only just a small part of everything that is, you realize how crazy it is to only focus on this bit. Especially when the Bible teaches that what we do in this bit has massive implications about how we live the rest of that bit. Thank you, Debbie. It's often said, particularly if you're following a career, it's like life is like being part of a rat race. Have you ever heard that expression, life is like a rat race? Spend all our time trying to get on, trying to move forward, every effort we have trying to win, trying to get a bit ahead of others, just to get that little bit more. But the thing is, with a rat race, even if you win, even if you achieve your goal, at the end of it all, you're still a rat. Jesus teaches a different way. Jesus says, get perspective. Your time here is only a speck when you see it in the vastness of eternity. He is not taking away the importance of our time here, but he is saying this part of life is only short and there is more to come. So make this bit count. So the first point was that most likely we are the rich guy in the story. And the second point is to get perspective. This life is short, but how we live it has an impact on the rest of our life. The third point, what do we do with what God has given us? Do we know how comparatively rich we all are? We live in a country that has the fourth highest median wealth in the world and has the third highest number of ultra wealthy individuals in the world. We are rich. There is no escaping it. We might not feel it, but compared to the rest of the world, we are. There's loads of shocking statistics about how wealth in the world is shared out. We live in a world where the richest 1% of people own more than the other 99% of people combined. Worse still, the richest 8 people in the world, just 8 people, own more or own the same as 3.6 billion people, more than half the world's population. We might not feel it, but we are in the rich half of the world. God has given us wealth. The question is, what do we do with it? Another visual aid. Let's see how this one goes, because you might not be able to see it. But we'll go with it anyway. Imagine, again, this is your cup. This is your cup. And you fill it with some water. And you love your water. It is great. So you want to try and keep it in. You don't want to spill it out. How might you do this? Well, you might be really careful. You might just not try and walk around spilling it anywhere. Or you could put a lid on it. So if you put a lid on it, like that. And then you shake it around. It's great. It doesn't fall out. You keep what you've got. And that is great. Except that, what happens when you're trying to fill your cup up that bit more? You can't. The lid is really good at keeping water in, but it's also really good at keeping water out. Now, so we are like this cup. This cup represents us. God has made us great at being able to be filled up and being able to spill out and overflow like he intended it. God gives us more than we can keep in. But if you put your lid on it, all that God wants to give you, he can't because you stop it. And moreover, ultimately, this is good for a little bit of time, but what happens over time with this water in this cup? It stagnates. So the thing that once gave you life may now kill you. God gave the rich man in the story wealth, and he chose to wallow in his wealth. He was the personification of a hoarder. He loved to accumulate, to show it off, to keep it for himself. Maybe he had worked really hard for his money. He felt like it was his, and no one else should get it. Lazarus was brought to his door, and he ignored him. He missed the chance to use his money, his wealth, in the way that it had been intended. You see, part of the get perspective thing is to understand that all we have is God's. It's not really ours. Riches come and go, and we don't stick around long enough to enjoy them. Everything is God's. Our money, our things, our gifts, our talents, our time. It's all God's. And he shares it with us. But he expects us to do the same. Now, I'm a dad. I let the kids, buy the kids every now and then some toys, and I say, go and play. Go and enjoy all these things that I've got for you. But play nicely. Enjoy it all, but share it. It's okay for us to have money. It's okay to live in society that we do. But we must not forget that we have to play nicely and we have to share what we have. When you look in the Bible at people who had experiences of Jesus and of God, oftentimes it resulted in them totally changing their mindset. Zacchaeus used to love money, and then one day he met Jesus and he totally shifted. He gave all his money away. The Christians the new Christians in the book of Acts experienced the Holy Spirit and they shared all that they had with each other, even selling their houses. Mary washing Jesus' feet in a ridiculously overpriced perfume. Experience in Jesus changes your perspective. And so as we as a church move forward on our journey with God, God is challenging us to experience his presence in our lives more, and through these experiences to change us. You may have heard this before, but a vicar stands in front of his congregation and says, "Good news! Good news. God has told me that we've got enough money for the building project that we want to do." The congregation say, "Wow, that is amazing. Where is it?" "That is the rub," says the vicar. "It's in your bank account." One big challenge for us as a congregation is our building project. And that story, in a way, is true for us. We have a huge task of raising the funds to do the work that we need to do in our buildings to allow us to do the work that we need to do with our parish and the people in our area. God has given us the money, but it is up to us how we want to spend it. Now, I appreciate this is the worst time of year to talk about this, maybe, with Christmas coming up. But I would encourage you, particularly as we move on in our journey with God, to think and pray about how you use the money that God has given you. Ask God for guidance. Ask him for perspective. Ask him for help. That we give to God is not a choice. It is a command. We cannot outgive God. has he already given so much, and just to have a relationship with us. We need to ask ourselves, what should we give back? And we should do it seriously. If the God of the Bible is real, and all that he has done for us is true, what should we give? Well, we should give as much as we can, and we should do it as soon as we can. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for all that you have given us. Help us to spend time with you and experience all that you want to give us. Help us to see things from your perspective. We ask that you would guide us in our giving. Help us to really seek your will in this. And we thank you that you protect us when we step out in faith. Amen.